Bible? This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel like I just left church. Open your Bibles to John chapter 4. Alex, can you just turn me down just a little bit in the house? John chapter 4. And when you get there, say amen. Thank you. John chapter 4. Amen. In John chapter 4, are you there yet? Verse number 20 is where we're going to start today. In verse number 20, the woman at the well said to Jesus, I know you don't see that in your Bible, but that's who he's speaking here. She says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. But we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, somebody say true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he said, that's the kind of worship the worshipers the Father is looking for. And then he said in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? This is part two of the message we started last Sunday called Living a Life of Worship. Living a Life of Worship. And just for the sake of those who were not here, I will catch everyone else up. We found out last week that Jesus is having a conversation at the well in Samaria, talking to Jesus. Jesus is having a conversation with the woman in reference to worship. Worship. And as they're having this conversation, the woman is talking to Jesus about places or locations. She said that, you know, my father's worship in the mountain. I mentioned to you last week, for those of you who are here, for those of you who wasn't here, that's okay, I'll bring you up, that there was a guy by the name of Jeroboam, you know, who God selected to take the 10 tribes after Israel was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And he had places, worship, brazen cattle or golden cattle, its images, in places called Dan, the city of Dan and the city of Bethel. And the reason why he had those cattle there is because he didn't want the people to go to Jerusalem to worship, which is where they were supposed to go. He figured if he could just give them a shortcut, you know, and just make an image, and they could go worship the image as God. How many know God is not an image? Jesus just told us what God is. He said God is a spirit. But he said that if they can worship the image, then I don't have to worry about them going back to Jerusalem and changing over from me being their king to making Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, the king. Are you all still with me? So she's talking to Jesus about places and locations, you know. And Jesus told her, woman, he said, number one, the Samaritans didn't know what they were worshiping. In other words, they were not worshiping the one and only true God. And then he told her here, he said, there's a change that's about to take place and has already taken place. He said, the hour cometh and now is. In other words, the time has come and now is that you're not going to worship in the mountain. You don't have to worship in the mountains or anywhere else. And he told her why. He said that God is a spirit and the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In other words, I know there's a lot of prayer positions. I know that there were a lot of prayer locations. But Jesus said that now that I'm here, you know, And then not only that, the Holy Spirit's coming back. He said, now that I'm here, you don't have to, it's not the location anymore. Some people say, well, I can't pray unless I go to Kansas City. You know, the show me state. Or I can't pray, I got to go down to Killeen. No. Jesus says there is not a place anymore. We worship now from the inside. In other words, in spirit and in truth. Are y'all still with me this morning? And the only way that we can worship the Father in spirit and in truth is by way of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of what? I think we mentioned that a few nights ago, didn't we? Amen. So he says, we, it's not the position anymore. In other words, if you want to get in the position, that's fine. If you want to go to Louisiana and worship him, that's fine. But you don't have to go there. You know, wherever you are, you can worship him, because instead of worship being in the natural or physically like we used to, it starts on the inside. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we found out last week that there are many forms of worship, or how to worship. You know, most people, I can't say most people because I don't know most people, but I can say many people, when they talk about worshiping God, the first thing they think about is praise and worship in the church. And that is a form of worship, but that is not the only form of worship. Yes, singing songs and playing music and lifting up our hands to the Lord is a form of worship, but it is not the only form of worship. Are you all still with me? Amen. How many of you know serving God is a form of worship? Praising God is a form of worship. Loving God is a form of worship. Anything we do in reference to God is a form of worship. Being obedient to God is a form of worship. Why? Because we are reverencing God for who he is. Are you all still with me this morning? In other words, what I'm trying to get you to see is the same thing I mentioned last week, is that worship is not just doing things. Worship is a lifestyle, okay? We should always live a lifestyle of worship. Everything that we do in this world, we should do it as unto the Lord. The Bible tells us that. And when we do it as unto the Lord, it is a form of worship. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And I mentioned last week that many people do not know that, okay? They do not know that life, their lifestyle should be a form of worship, okay? They think, once again, they focus on the church, praise and worship in the church, amen. But it's more to it than that. And the reason why they do not know that, as I mentioned last week, is that they are not spiritually focused, okay? They are worldly focused, but they have spiritual thoughts. And two nights ago, Friday night, right? When was it Friday? Amen. Yeah. On New Year's Eve, on Friday, we talked about the fact that the focus for this ministry is elevating. Okay, we got to elevate ourselves spiritually through the Word by way of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we have to elevate spiritually. But once again, a lot of people, they are not spiritually focused, but they think that they are, you know. They are worldly focused with spiritual thoughts, okay? And then I mentioned last week that the people will make comments that other people are not spiritually focused, you know, when really they are not spiritually focused. They are being deceived by their own mind. Are you all still with me? By their own mind. But Jesus said that the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the only way that we can worship the Father in spirit and truth is we must be spiritually focused. Because I mentioned on Friday that spirit is what you are. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. And you live in the body. Y'all still with me? In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was talking about death, and he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, the body is the house for your spirit while you're here on this earth. I like to say it this way. Your spirit is inside of your body looking out of your windows, your eyes. The eyes are the windows for the spirit. And when you leave this world, guess what? Your spirit leaves your body. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if a person is not a Christian, when their spirit leaves the body, they're not going to be present with the Lord. Y'all still with me? So you are a spirit. So Jesus is saying here, listen, there's a new way to worship God, okay? In spirit and in truth. Well, Pastor, how can I worship God in spirit? By being led by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows how to worship God. The Holy Spirit knows how we are supposed to live our life. That's why Jesus sent him back to lead us and guide us into all truth. Y'all still with me this morning? You know, so we have to worship him in spirit by way of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we can worship him. Now, last week I gave you a definition of that word worship as is listed here in John chapter 4. And I gave you a Greek word, and I told you that you do not have to remember it. Amen. But there was a Greek word called proskuneo. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O, for those of you who like Greek, amen, proskuneo, and that word means prostrate, to prostrate. And I told you that word prostrate means to lay down flat on the ground with your face down to the ground. That's a form of worship. And in that position is a position of submission. Well, Pastor, you mean to tell me that when we pray to God, we have to lay on the ground with our face to the ground? No. Because Jesus just told us, he said that the true worshipers must worship the Father in what? Spirit. And in truth. So when you look at prostrate, okay, in the spirit, if you think about laying flat on the ground, on your belly with your face to the floor, or even kneeling. When you think about that, you are humbling yourself, okay? You are humbling yourself because if you are down on the ground, you can't go any lower. Are you all still with me? Well, in the spirit, when we worship God, we have to humble ourselves, okay? We have to humble ourselves. I want you to go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Jesus is not talking about a physical position. He is talking about spiritual. That's why he said those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. In spirit, you humble yourself in the spirit. Amen. James chapter 4. James 4. Stay with me. We're gonna pick up a little bit here in a minute. James 4. I just wanted to do a quick overview for people who may not have been here. Or maybe, you know, because of New Year's, you all might have got so busy you may have forgotten last week's message. Amen. I don't know. But in James chapter 4, okay, James chapter 4, the Bible tells us here in James chapter 4, it says in verse number 8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, Paul is talking to, James is talking here, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. He's just talking to them because they were acting up. And then he told them, he says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall do what? Lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. How many know when you humble yourself, you know, It's a word that equals humility. In other words, you don't try to be equal to God. That's why the Bible says when Jesus came, you know, he was not equal to God. He didn't show himself equal. You have to humble yourself. You have to get as low as you can go spiritually to worship God, because God is the supreme God. We can't halfway do it, you know. Even in the natural, the word prostrate, you know, it says to lay on the ground. You can look it up yourself. Lay on the ground with your face to the ground. How many of you know, anyway, I'm thinking about those old crazy magic shows. How, you know, you have people, you know, they probably have strings tied to their leg, and they just have them just hanging in the air like this. Amen. I know y'all probably see that, but, ooh, that's magic. No, they got strings, invisible strings. You can't see the person hanging in the air. Amen. Don't be deceived. Amen. You just too far away from the shore to see the streams. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But anyway, it doesn't mean like that. It means as low as you can go. So when I humble myself to the Lord, I am submitting totally to him, and I am getting myself out of the way spiritually. Are y'all still with me? And once again, I cannot worship the Father in spirit and in truth without the Holy Spirit helping me. I can't do it. I can't do it. Because the Holy Spirit is what helps my spirit. You know, Minister Terry talked the other night about feeding the spirit. I know a lot of times she said feeding the Holy Spirit, but she, you know, because, you know, the Bible says that we should be holy because God is holy. Be ye holy for I am holy. And she's talking about feeding the Holy Spirit. Well, our spirit should be holy, but it shouldn't be equal with the Holy Spirit. Are y'all still with me? Because, see, the Holy Spirit is full of glory, but, you know, she was talking about feeding the spirit, our spirit, the spirit man, the real you. Are you still with me? We have to do that. Are y'all still with me? The only way I can worship God in spirit and in truth, it must be by way of the Holy Spirit. And I've already mentioned to us that as we move forward into 2022, we're going to talk a lot more about the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I believe that in the church today, when I say church, I mean the body of Christ, one of the main ingredients that is missing is because they do not understand the role and the power of the Holy Spirit due to the lack of teaching in the church world today. Are y'all still with me? Amen. We have to stop thinking the way we used to think. We have to now start focusing on the spiritual things. Well, Pastor, how can we focus on spiritual things? Well, we found out on Friday night, right? Through the word, by way of who? The one who came to lead us and guide us into not some truth, but all truth. And if the Holy Spirit came to lead and guide me into all truth, how many of you know I want all the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Are y'all still with me? So a movie once, the man told the man, you can't handle the truth. Well, how many know he did handle it? Because when he told them what the truth was, they locked him up in jail. Y'all still with me today? Amen, amen, amen. See? Spirit, worshiping in spirit and truth, spirit worship and truth worship belongs to God. Belongs to God. That's why Jesus said the true worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. It belongs to God. And sometimes we need to be reminded of God's goodness, okay? We need to be reminded of what God has done for us and is doing for us so we can give him the credit and the reverence and the glory and give him what he deserves. Are you all still with me? Amen. Last week where we left off in Exodus chapter 20. I want you to go back there because God had to remind the children of Israel who he was, or who he is, and what he had done for them. Because sometimes we in this world, we get so busy, we forget what God has done for us. We forget. We think we did it ourselves. Sometimes we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Exodus chapter 20 is where we left off last week, and this is where we're going to pick up at and keep on running. Are y'all still with me? In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1, are you there yet? Amen. The Bible says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. In other words, God said, you did not deliver yourself, I did it. And then he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What he's saying there is that there's nothing else, no other God that you should worship. The Bible says him only. Jesus told Satan when Satan tempted him in the wilderness, he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Him only. him only. And then he said in verse number 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, which is what Jeroboam did, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. I believe when we closed last week, I was telling you that, you know, Satan has a counterfeit for everything that God has. Okay? He has a counterfeit. You know, I remember a long time ago when they came out with the leather jacket. And then shortly after that, they came out with the pleather jacket. Y'all still with me? Amen. Counterfeit. Amen. I couldn't afford a leather jacket back then, so I walk around with pleather. Amen. But it's a counterfeit. And the world, okay, Satan is the prince of this world. And the world, you know, he will form counterfeit things to have people to focus on those things and worship those things more than they worship the Creator, more than they worship God, okay? Anything that you worship, listen to this, anything that you worship, because we think about God, we think about false gods and, you know, some of the gods in the Old Testament, but anything that you put before capital G God is your God. You're worshiping. Cars, houses, you name it, okay? Jesus told the disciples, I go prepare a place for you. This is not our permanent place. This is not our permanent house. The house you live in is just your house that you're living on earth. It's a counterfeit to what God has for us. Y'all still with me? And when we start worshiping those things, God said, uh-uh. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And then he said here in verse number 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Because I told you, service is a form of worship. He said, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Are y'all still with me? And then he says, and I'm the God who shows mercy. I know King James saying showing mercy. He said, I'm the God who shows mercy unto thousands of them that do what? Love me. I mentioned to you that love is a form of worship. The God kind of love. Loving God with the God kind of love. Not just loving him when he bless you, and then when he don't bless you, oh, God, I'm just upset with you, God. I didn't get. That's not the kind of love God is talking about. God is talking about unconditional love, the kind of love that he loves us with. Y'all still with me? Form of worship. He said, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me, catch this other part, and keep my commandments, and keep my word, keep my commandments. And then he says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord would not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Do y'all see that? Take his name. You know, if you look at that word right there in the Hebrew, you see words that say idolatry and everything else. In other words, God said, listen, you need to respect me. You need to respect who I am. I'm God, and I'm God all by myself. Are you all still with me? He said, I demand respect, because respecting God is also a form of worship. Are y'all still with me? As I said before, it's not just lifting your hands up to the Lord in the church on Sunday morning because the praise leader say, everybody lift their hand. Are we worshiping him, or are we just doing it because the praise leader say, everybody lift their hand? The true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because Jesus says those are the kind of worshipers that God is seeking. In spirit and truth. Are you all still with me? Since you're in Exodus, go over to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. You're already almost there. Once again, God is talking to them again. In verse 11, he says, observe thou that which I command thee this day. He said, behold, I'm going to drive your enemies out. Watch what I do for you, is what he said here. Verse 12, he says, take heed to yourself lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. Don't make no covenant with them. So you better keep your trust in me. And then he says here, verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other god. Do y'all see that? For the Lord whose name is jealous is a what? Jealous God. And I mentioned to you last week, you know, when we see that word jealous, we can't look at it like how jealous we are. You know, I'm jealous of what Brother Harley has. No, that's not what he's talking about there. But what that means there is that God don't want us to get ourselves in trouble. He wants us to stay in safety. He don't want to see us having problems and just out there and just lost. That's what he's talking about. That's jealous in a good way, okay? That's not like, I'm God, but, Elder Bondron, I got on that nice tie. Although I'm God, I'm jealous of that tie. No, that's not what he's talking about. See, that's the difference between jealous and envy. Y'all still with me? But God is saying, listen, I created you. I protected you. I delivered you. I saved you. I'm the one who sent Jesus Christ to redeem you. I'm the one that allowed Jesus to go to hell, to suffer for 3 days and three nights for you so you wouldn't have to go. Jesus went to hell? Oh, yes, he did. That's another lesson. So you would not have to go. He said, I did that. So if I did all that, don't you go worshiping nobody else. You need to worship me. Because if it wasn't for me, God says, it wouldn't be a you. So he deserved all the worship. Worship belongs to God. And I mentioned to you that worship is a life, God. Because when we worship God in spirit and in truth, number one, we tell God, you know, he already know, but we tell him what he has done for us, and we show our appreciation to him for what he has done. We tell him what he's done. In other words, God already knows what he's done for us, but he wants to make sure we know what he did. And we show our appreciation to God for what he has done. How do we show it? By our lifestyle. Because I already mentioned, worship is a lifestyle. And listen to this. You don't have to be rich, and you don't have to be famous. I don't know if you hear about the lifestyle of the rich and famous. I don't worry about no rich and no famous. You have a penny in your pocket. Guess what? Worship is still a lifestyle. Are y'all still with me? You know, we most of us heard about King David. We know King David. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And the reason why King Solomon got a chance to keep a tribe after Israel was divided into the northern and southern kingdom, the reason why King Solomon got to keep a tribe was because of King David. God said, only because King David, I'm going to let him keep one of the tribes. And then the Bible says later on, the Rehoboam also assembled Benjamin with Judah. See, the Bible never said God gave them Benjamin. The Bible said, I'm going to give them one tribe, Judah. And then Rehoboam, Solomon's son, who was also a wicked king, by the way, the southern kingdom, the Bible said he assembled Benjamin. Did y'all know that? Amen. Well, you know it now. Amen, amen, amen. But King David was a man after God's own heart. And King David gives us an example of how we should worship God. He gives us an example of how it is God. They said it this morning. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. And he is the one that who we need to worship. Our life should be focused on satisfying God. Are y'all still with me? Go to the 116th Psalm, please. 116th Psalm. Our lifestyle, we should live our life to please God. The Bible tells us that. To please God. And the only way that we can please God is by worshiping him. And once again, I'm not talking about just singing songs, but worshiping him, living our lifestyle in spirit and in truth. The 116th Psalm. Are y'all still with me this morning? I believe the Word of Knowledge Ministries in 2022, man, I believe we're going to take off like a rocket. Because everybody's going to be focused on worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Where did I tell you to go, Psalm? Amen. I tell you to go somewhere, and I don't even remember where I told you to go. Look at what King David said here. He says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Do y'all see that? David said, there is no other. He says in verse number three, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. He said, I found trouble and sorrow. Did anybody find any trouble and sorrow back in 2021? He said, then I did what? Called upon the name of who? The Lord. Notice he didn't call the name of his house. Notice he didn't call on the name of the car. You know that he's putting before God. Notice he didn't call the name of his best friend or his enemy or any human being that he thought could help him. He said, I called on the name of the Lord. I called on the name of the Lord. I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And then he said, gracious is the Lord. I mean, look at what he's doing. He's just giving God glory here. You know, we sang a song this morning, give him glory. Glory to his name. Let's see what he's doing here. He said, gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. What David is doing here is a form of worship. He's reverencing God for who he is. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Then he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. He's talking to his soul now. Turn unto thy rest, O my soul. How many know you can talk to your soul? For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Talking to his soul. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You know, if you were here on Friday night, you know, Kathy gave her testimony. And she was talking about how there were times when she thought she was going to die. But how many of you know she's still standing? But by the grace of God. See, sometimes you find yourself in a situation your best friend can't do it. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, Auntie Am can't do it. Sometimes we have to call on the Lord. Amen? Call on the Lord. Why? Because he has our best interest in heart. Do we have his best interest in our heart? That is the question. Are y'all still with me? We have to give God what he deserves. God deserves the praise. He deserves the worship. He deserves us to live our lifestyle focused on him. He deserves for us to worship him, not in the flesh. Because if we're not worshiping God in spirit, we are worshiping him in the flesh. And how many of you know that worshiping God in the flesh is called vain worship? And the Bible says we shall worship him not in the flesh or not vain worship, but we should worship him in the spirit and in what? The truth. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And see, like I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of people think that they are spiritually focused, but they are worldly focused. They are worldly focused, but they have spiritual thoughts. And when people find themselves in situations like that, what they do, and they don't realize it, is that instead of bringing people to God, they run them away from God. Now, they mean well, but as I always said, mean well, you're just being mean well. Are y'all still with me? You know, they have deceived their own selves to make, oh, yeah, I'm spiritual. I know the spirit, the spiritual. But they're being led by their own mindset. You know, the Bible tells us to be led by the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. The only way that our spirit, the real you, because you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in the body, and I'm going to do a teaching on that in detail for Bible study, okay? The only way, when the time comes, the only way that you're going to be able to worship in the spirit, live in the spirit, is by way of the Holy Spirit. Christians, that's why the Holy Spirit is so important to us. I mentioned to you that for many people, it's a missing ingredient. I've never baked a cake before, I don't think. Maybe, I don't know, when I was in 10th grade, maybe in home economics. I took home economics so I could eat. And so maybe I baked a cake back then. I just don't remember. But how many of you cake bakers, you can bake a cake, and if you leave out a very important ingredient, when you taste that cake, you'd be like, something missing. Well, guess what? You left out the most important ingredient. You left out the cake mix. Y'all still with me? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit, he's the mix. Are y'all still with me? We can't leave him out. That's why we're going to learn more about him, because we are going to depend on him to lead us into spiritual worship. In other words, to lead us to live a lifestyle of worship, not just praise and worship in the church. Y'all still with me? But a lifestyle of worship as we move forward in 2022. But once again, they run people from Jesus. They run them away instead of bringing them to Jesus. Why? Because they don't realize that they're not spiritually focused. They just think they are. And it's dangerous. And what happens is that they end up participating in vain worship. Some people, they try to take credit for what God has done, not just in their life, but in other people's life. I mentioned this last week. They go through a situation, and they get saved, or get delivered, and people ask them, well, what happened? I know you was going through this situation. How did you do it? Well, I did this, and I did that. But they stayed up all night crying to the Lord. Father, I just need you to help me get through this, Father God. But they even speaking to him. Father. And then when they get the deliverance, how'd you get it done? Well, I did it. I just stood on faith. No, you didn't stand on faith. You cried to God all night long. And he delivered you. See? How many eyes do you have? Two, right? When you get three, what does that mean? You become a monster. In other words, we end up worshiping ourselves instead of worshiping God. And how many of you know that when we worship ourselves instead of worshiping God, that is not spiritual, that is not spirit and true worship. That is vain worship. And vain worship does not sit right with God. God hates vain worship. And he shows us in his word how he feels about vain worship. That was one of the problems with the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, the religious people. Like some Christians, they're too religious. Just too religious. Too religious. I mean, they drop a penny on the ground. In the name of Jesus, don't get dirty, penny. They drop it in the mud. Praise the Lord. I know when I pick this penny up, there's not going to be any mud on it. Guess what? When you pick that penny up, it's mud on it. Because you dropped it in the mud. Christians, we can't be over-religious, whether be spiritually focused on God. It's a big difference between religion and Christianity. I mentioned this many, many years ago. Religion always focuses on the negative in a person. Just because a person does not meet their standards. What you can't do. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, God's going to get them. God's going to get you. Oh, that's religion. That's religion. They're not like I am. I, one eye, I, two eye, I, three eye, I, four eye. You're really a monster now. Christianity is about what you can do through Christ. Religion say what you can't do. You can't do that. Women can't preach in the church. They can't wear makeup. Men can't do that. No, that's wrong. Stop judging. Christianity is what you can do through Christ. Through Christ Jesus, I can do all things. That's what Christianity is about. Not about death, but about life. And once again, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were some religious people. They wanted people to look up to them as, and what they were doing, they was turning people away. And Jesus dealt with them in Matthew chapter 15. Are you there? Are you, did I tell you to go there? He dealt with them. Vain worship. Vain worship. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Vain worship. Jesus said the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's no question about it. Vain worship. But some people, because they worship in vain, because they're not spiritually focused, although they think they are, they always find the negative in people. And that's what the Pharisees did in Matthew chapter 15. Always looking for fault instead of encouraging, lifting up, exhorting one another. The Bible says not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another as we see the day approaching. What day? The day that Jesus comes back. Or encouraging one another. People don't do that. They find fault. Just like the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus dealt with them. Are you in Matthew chapter 15 yet? Vain worship. Look at what the Bible says here. In verse 1. It says, then came to Jesus, the scribe and the Pharisee. Here they come. You know, when the scribe and Pharisee showed up, I mean, you know, like I said, I think I'm going to ask Jesus when I see him. But I think as time went on, they probably said, man, y'all believe that dude the Lord over there. Because he's talking some stuff that we don't even understand. But I bet before Jesus on the scene, they probably was walking around, man, you know how we do some head in the air. The guy there, he don't know anything. Let's go ahead and deal with him. I know people in the army that used to be like that. You know, the most sergeants, you know, you privates, they come, yeah, let me go over here and block his heels. And then that big sergeant major come out there and lock that sergeant's heel. You know, I'm going to share this with you real quick. I'm going to move on. You know, when I was in the military, right, you know, God blessed me to be a sergeant major. I'm not just telling you this for me. I'm just sharing it with you. So, I had I always care about people. I still care about people. And, I had a lot of sergeants, you know, had soldiers underneath them. And I had an open door policy where a soldier wanted to come to talk to me, he didn't have to go through his NCO. Just talk. Let your NCO know that you want to come and talk to me, about problems and stuff like that. And so I had some NCOs. They used to get upset with me. And they said, "Sergeant Major, I don't understand how you could talk to that guy. He should have came to me first." I said, "Let me tell you something. If you were doing your job, he would have come to you. But apparently he felt he couldn't come talk to you. So he came to me to talk to me about you." You know, because see, sometimes people will abuse authority. And that's what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing to the people. They were abusing their authority because they had a little bit of knowledge of the Old Testament. And they changed things around to make it sound like we do, Christians do today. Like, one people understood it. Not Moses' way, but their way. Are y'all still with me? But they ran into Jesus one day. And the Bible says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were at Jerusalem, saying, the scribe, now they're asking Jesus a question. He says, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Finding fault on Jesus' disciples. I mean, these guys have been walking with Jesus and listening to Jesus. And because the Pharisees are jealous because these guys have been walking with Jesus, now they want to find some fault on these guys. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition. Be careful when you're blaming somebody else for something. He said, why do you transgress the commandment? They asked Jesus, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they washed not their hands when they eat? Jesus says, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? He said, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, verse 4, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But you say, scribes and Pharisees, you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. But whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Jesus said, scribes and Pharisees, you're going against the commandment of God. And you have the nerve to ask me about my disciples? And then he said, you have made, verse 6, you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You made a commandment of God not effective because you're talking to people about what you believe, what you saw on the internet, instead of talking to them about what the Word of God says. So basically what they're doing, people saw them coming, they went in the other direction. They don't want to hear anything they have to say. And that's what people do today. People who think they are spiritually focused. They start, instead of speaking the Word of God to people, they start using their own thoughts, what they believe, how they think things are supposed to be. Oh. And the reason why people do that is because they're trying to give glory to themselves instead of giving it to God. How many know it's vain worship? Are y'all still with me? See, obedience, I told you already that obedience to God is a form of worship. When I do not obey his word and I do things my way, that's vain worship. That's not spirit and true worship. And look at what Jesus called them here. He said, you hypocrites. He said, when Isaiah prophesied of you, he said the right thing. Isaiah said in verse number 8, Jesus is telling them what Isaiah said about them. He said, this people draweth near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. Lord, you are first in my life. I love you, Jesus. There's no one but you. I give it all to you. I serve you, God, wholeheartedly. I'm going to follow your commandments, Jesus. That's what he's saying here. These people draw near unto me with their mouth. How many don't talk is cheap? And honor me with their lips. But their heart is what? Far from me. Worldly focus with spiritual thoughts. Their heart is far from me. And then he says, but in what? Vain. In what? Vain. In what? Vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of who? Men. And I mentioned to you on Friday night, the reason why we need to elevate our spiritual growth through the Word of God, by way of the Holy Spirit, is so we would not be listening to men and be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Do you all remember that? Jesus said, no, the commandment of men is of no effect. Pharisees and scribes, he says, your tradition is of no effect. You question the disciples, but look at what you were doing. At least they're following me, but you're operating in vain worship. And how many of you know that the Bible never tells us to worship the Father in vain and in truth? It says in what? Spirit and in truth. And if we worship the Father in spirit and in truth, we would never worship the Father in vain and in truth. Because when we worship the Father in spirit and in truth, our spirit will line up with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach us how to worship God. Are y'all still with me? I mean, all people have to do is just follow the commandment of God. And last week I mentioned to you about Jeroboam. All he had to do, you know, he was the king of the northern kingdom. After Israel was divided into two kingdoms. All he had to do was just obey God's commandments. That's all he had to do. You know, I mentioned to you last week, but because we have time, I want to go through the scripture. I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 11. God says, Solomon messed up, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the kingdom from him. I'm going to leave him one tribe, and I'm going to give you 10. I know there were 11, and I told you that Benjamin ended up being assembled with Judah. Jeroboam in the north, who used to work with King Solomon. Rehoboam in the south, who was King Solomon's son. First king, God told him, all you have to do is just follow my commandments. Do what my word tells you to do. I want to pick this up right where God is talking. I think I talked about it last week. You can read it when you get home for your home Bible study. And he told Jeroboam in verse number 38, he said, it shall be, if thou wilt just hearken unto all that I command you and will walk in my ways and do that is right and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandment as David my servant did. You know, Christians, we need to study David, because we always say David is the man after God's own heart, and we read Psalm David said it. We need to study King David. I believe that will help us. Because God, I mean, he just bringing up David's name. I mean, can you imagine if God just, you know how sometimes you want to be famous and you want some famous person to know you? Oh, yeah, that's Tyrone over there. I'm so glad they know me. I mean, God calling David's name. I mean, that says a lot. He said, as David my servant did, that I will be with you and build you a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto you. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. I mean, all Jeroboam had to do was to just do what God said. But he wanted to follow his own tradition. I told you earlier when we first started this lesson and last week that because he didn't want the people to go to Jerusalem to worship, because he thought if they did, they would fall under Rehoboam instead of him, he built altars in Dan and Bethel with grazing cattle. How many know images? God is not an image. And he had the people to go there, and that's what the Samaritan lady was talking about at the well. Our fathers worship in the mountain. That's what she was talking about. They would go to the images and worship God. That's not God. That's an image of a cow. Because he wanted people to worship him instead of God. And needless to say, he failed just like the rest of them. I mean, Israel, I think all their kings were bad. I think Judah had a few kings. Any historians in here? I think it's about right. Isn't it right? Israel had two good kings? Okay, amen. When we finish, tell me who those two kings are. I know Judah had about two or three of them. But tell me who they are, the northern kingdom. Bad, just bad. Just follow. And a lot of Christians, we don't follow what God says. We want people to follow our own tradition. That's why when we teach the word of God in here, we use the word. I don't hear nobody's opinion. And if I give you my opinion, I'm going to say Ron chapter 3, verse 55. So you got to use the word. Because, see, a lot of people may not be as spiritually mature or as spiritually old as we are. They might just be someone who had just accepted Jesus. They don't know him. And when we start speaking words out of our mouth about our own opinion, And then we try to use God's word in the context. They don't know whether it's God or not. So they're going to believe what you say. Why? Because they respect you because you've been saved a long time. See? So we hurt people sometimes because we give them false doctrine based on what we think the word says. We can't do that. Can't do babies like that. You know, if you think about little babies, physical little babies, you know, you give that baby something to eat, it could be poison. Guess what the baby's going to do? They're going to eat it because they don't know any better. They don't know. They're just going to put it right in their mouth. And that's what happened to a lot of young Christians due to our lack of studying the word of God to give them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We speak it out of our mouth what we think. You can't go to a baby like that. And the reason why I'm saying this, I just want to encourage us to study the word more in 2022. Listen, no, it doesn't matter what you learned in 2021. Just study more in 2022. Because this word is a rhema word. It's alive. It's been around forever. When I get into this word, I always find something else that just sticks out. Like, what? I didn't see that before. It's been here the whole time. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Into not some truth, but all truth. Are you all still with me? There is only one way that I can worship God in the Spirit. And that way is by way of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. The Bible tells us in Galatians, I got 3 minutes, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, you can read it. Chapter 5, the Bible says to walk in the Spirit and that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only way that I can not fulfill the lust of the flesh or worship in the flesh is by being led by the Spirit. By way of the Holy Spirit. See, I mentioned before, you are a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. The spirit is a part of you that contacts God. That's a part of you that contacts God. The soul consists of your will, your mind, your emotions, your desire, and your personality. The soul is what makes you different from me. We're going to do a Bible study. We're going to get deep into that. And your body is just a house that you live in while you're on the earth. So you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in the body. And that's why the Bible tells us to renew your mind, because the mind is trying to lead you when your spirit should be leading you, or the real you, the spirit. And the body, because it doesn't have a mind of its own, it listens to what the mind says. That's why the Bible tells us to present our body and renew our mind. But when we get the spirit in the right place, now the Holy Spirit can lead our spirit. And when your Holy Spirit is leading your spirit, the real you, guess what? Your mind and your body can do nothing else but follow the Spirit. You have to follow it. Why? Because it's being led by the Holy Spirit. Are you all still with me? I'm going to show you one more scripture, and we're closing. Go to Romans chapter 8. I read it to you the other night on Friday, but I want you to see it today, and we're going to close. Amen. Talking about true worship. Romans chapter 8. See, the Holy Spirit plays a very important part in your life. Don't you know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do you not know that it was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that baptized you into the body of Christ? That's why the Bible says you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. It's talking about spiritual things. It's not talking about old things that have passed away. Well, you know, it can be talking about some of the things that we did, because when people get saved, they still do some of the same old things they did before they got saved. So when the Bible says all things are passed away, it's not talking about in the flesh. It's talking about spiritual. In other words, you have been recreated to be able to be connected to the Spirit of God. In other words, this Holy Spirit helped us to fix in ourselves what Adam messed up. When Adam and Eve sinned, mankind became spiritually separated from God, and that's why we have to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I'm an old man. How can I get back into my mother's womb? That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about a spiritual birth. a spiritual birth. And once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. And now that he baptized you into the body of Christ, now he's going to lead us and show us the way. Are y'all still with me? We're going to get into that. Go to Romans. Are you at Romans? See, we need to understand ourselves. I mentioned on Friday, if you don't understand that you are a spirit, then you will never feed the spirit. People wake up sometimes, you know, I'm tired. I've been eating all week. I don't know why I'm tired. No, your spirit tired. And the spirit make your whole body tired. Are you at Romans? I'm closing. Amen. What page is Romans on? Anybody know? Thank you. Amen. It's on a different page of my Bible, but at least you got me in the right direction. Look at Romans chapter 8. I'm closing with this. Verse 14. What the 14 says? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That tells me that right there, it's very important to be led by the Spirit. And then the Bible says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then the Bible says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, itself bears witness with your spirit. Now, how many of you have King James? I don't know what the other translations look like, but if verse 16, the first word spirit is capitalized. Do you see that? That's talking about the Holy Spirit. And look where it says, the Spirit bear witness with our spirit. Our spirit, that should be a small s, right? That's the real you. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with me, or you, with my spirit, that we are the children of God. In other words, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, until the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ, we were not children of God. People say, we all God's children. No, we're not, because in John, Jesus told the Pharisees that you are of your father, the devil. That's why everybody has to be born again. And once we're born again, the Holy Spirit takes his place. I think the praise team used to sing a song. They sing a song, Jesus Take Your Place. You know, the Holy Spirit take his place. Okay, come here for a second. Lila, you've accepted Jesus. All right, now, Lila, this is what I want you to do. Okay, now I know he's not Lila, but he's just playing, you know, amen. All right, Lila. All right. Okay, dear. All right, Elder Bondra, you've accepted Jesus. I'm playing the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I want you to do now. Now, I'm so happy that you accepted Jesus. The angels in heaven, they are praising, they're worshiping, they're rejoicing because you gave your life to Jesus. Now that you've taken Jesus, I'm going to take my place in your life. So then the Holy Spirit goes in front of you. And then the Holy Spirit says, okay, let's go. Thank you. Somebody give him a hand, praise. Amen. Listen, not when you die, but right now. Stand to your feet. I'm here to tell you. I don't know what happened to my Bible. It's around here somewhere. Amen. Christians, I'm telling you, the Christian life is a great life. It's a life like no other. We have a new way to walk. We have a new way to talk. We have a new way to live. We have a new way to worship. And I mentioned to you already that worship is a lifestyle. It's not what we say, but it's what we do. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue, no doubt about that. But it's what we do. It's our actions. Because anybody can talk a good game. We can all say that Jesus is first in our life. We can all say that God is first. There's no other. I would not have any other gods before him. But is it the truth? Or is it just religious talk that people talk all the time? But when we realize, and I know many of us have, who we are in Christ Jesus, when we realize that we are spirits, made in the image and likeness of God, and God has sent the Holy Spirit to help us to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to God, then we will step back and say, Holy Spirit, take your place. I'm going to follow you. Yes, as long as you're in this world. As long as I'm in the world, in this world, we will face obstacles, situations, circumstances that try to get the best of us. But what we need to do is be more like David, King David. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises will continually be in my mouth. Regardless of the situation, regardless of how things look, I have to worship God. The Bible says the angels are worshiping him 24 hours a day. In Revelation chapter 4, the Bible talks about how they worship him, singing holy, holy, holy. God who was, who is, and who is to come. That's where we have to be in 2022. But we can't worship him in spirit and truth without knowing the Holy Spirit. It's a new year. It's time to refocus our focus. That includes Pastor Ron as well. Because the word that I teach you is also for me. Time to refocus our focus. A lot of people like for things to change, but they don't like to change. If we want things to change, then we need to change. Because if we do not change, we wouldn't even know change if it knocked on our front door. But I want to encourage each and every one of us, serve God like never before in 2022. Because once again, they already said, I mentioned it earlier, it's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise because he's worthy.